is almost past, but if we had dwelt a little bit yesterday on verse 22, it would help us with the point that John had made moments ago. Hearken unto their voice and make them a king. This is really the point, that God has come in really in government. This is what this involves. This is the sowing and the reaping that we were talking about. And so they have expressed what they want, and God says to the man of God, you listen to what they're saying. You make them a king, and then this young man, and I thought, Tony, too, and John, that there is significance that his family that he comes from is a family of power and influence. They were both of those things. The Benjamite, there was that was involved. And then, I don't know what you all make, but I think of this first little word in the King James, choice. A man in the New Testament that came to my mind was Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus was the best that we see, that I know of, in New Testament scriptures, of a man that came to the Lord. And do you remember what the Lord told that man? You must be born again. He began telling the Lord what he knew, and the Lord stopped him. And this is just in line with the comments, you know. No, our parents' faith is not sufficient for us. It's not sufficient to save us. That's number one. But our parents' faith is not sufficient for us to walk by. We must have faith of our own. Go ahead, John.
And there's the responsibility of the parents. And it's seen here, even in Saul. And in the New Translation, in verse 1, the word power is translated wealth. Word in my margin of my Bible is substance. So all of these things help us to understand what we've been bringing forth already about this man. And if we take them all and look at wealth, and then you see what the father, what he sent his son Saul to do was go and get those donkeys that were lost. He was occupying his son with the things of this world, with those earthly things rather than the things of God, and the importance of where that was. And we can see how that affected Saul later on in his life, because that's how he had been brought up. And we can so often become occupied with the things of this world and try to make our way here, and we find ourselves so focused on that, it displaces the things of God, and they are pushed out to make room for our affluence in this world. And we need to be very careful, young people, how we balance this in our lives.
Well, I think it's important to see Samuel's behavior with the choice of Saul, because I think of anyone who would know what was going on, it would have been Samuel saying, this is the guy you want, you know, recognizing that they're picking someone for his physical attributes. But Samuel doesn't say, oh, this guy's no good. Samuel says, okay. And then you see the behavior of Samuel genuinely supporting this man, trying to make him a king, trying to make him someone who could please God, trying to get the people and the king to work together. And the verses for us are in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Exhort therefore the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so Samuel, being a man after God, recognizing the wickedness or the sinfulness or the failures of the rulers, doesn't rebel, doesn't ignore, doesn't turn against them, but prays for them. And I think that is the important thing for us. You know, politics aside, we men are, and women are put above us who probably don't know the Lord. So what is our response? Do we rebel against them? Do we ignore them? Do we mock them? No, we pray for them. And that's what we need to do. And I think that's especially important considering the attributes of Saul, the attributes of the flesh.
You've really helped us to move us ahead. My heart was on the same thing. Someone may have thought, why in the world did Brother Chuck have us read this verse over in chapter 12? I'm going to put a couple of others with it and just make a comment or two. Verse 22. I think it helps us with this idea of where is Samuel now in relation to the people of Israel. What is his role? What is his function? I think naturally speaking, the weed that is in our own heart, we would have said, okay, you guys, you've made your bed, now sleep in it. I'm going to let you go. You just do your own thing. Look at what it says. Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. He doesn't allow them to forget who they belong to, number one. But then the question is, well, what about Samuel? Where does he fit into this now? Remember, young people, he has been rejected. How many of you would raise your hand and say, you know, I really like that. I really like to be rejected of those that the Lord has put me here to be a blessing. And now they've turned and I'm really happy with this place. No one likes rejection. But our brother has set before us, Samuel is not doing this for the people. He's doing it because he has a relationship with the Lord. And when they rejected him, he took it to the Lord, and the Lord gave him divine instruction of what to do in this interim of time when, in fact, things were in confusion. What does he say? Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Look at this. But I will teach you, number one, the good way. He won't forsake his mission because Israel has changed theirs. His mission hasn't changed. I will teach you not only the good way. When I think of the good way, I think again of that pathway that the Lord is free to bless your life. He does not compromise his standards in blessing you because you're walking with him. Them that honor me, we have read, I will honor. And so he says, I will teach you not only the good way, but the right way. He doesn't stop. His mission is not changed because there has been failure in Israel. He is still a man of God. And it really, to me, the features of Christ himself are seen coming out in this servant. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you.
Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not.
Amen. I think it's important to also realize, as we were, I think it was mentioned yesterday, that Samuel still, while maybe not officially, he was still functioning as God's man during this time, even though Saul was king. He prayed for them, as the verse that Chuck read, out of their desire. If you look at verse 19, all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. So they still saw him as, in spite of the fact that Saul was already anointed to be king, they still saw him as one that they can go to as their mediator between them and God. And so they, while they had rejected him previously, they still saw him as one that would intercede on their behalf. And so they realized that he still had that communication between God. Why would they ask them? You know, they didn't go to Saul and say, pray for us. They went to the man that they knew had communication already and had been ongoing with God and said, you talk to God on a regular basis, and this was God's way at that time. We have a much more privileged opportunity today. But they saw that he still had communication with God, and they say, pray for us. And then he says what the verses that we talked about.